Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome to the FSHD Society Radio Show. This is the Hot Off the Press episode. Last one of the year as we're finishing strong in 2023 and launching forward into 2024. We're going to talk a little bit about that because today our guest is Ken from the FSHD Society, Chief Business Officer. You know, Ken, I was about to pronounce your last name, but when I look at it, my eyes and brain just don't quite seem to connect. So maybe do a friend a favor and maybe introduce yourself a little bit so everybody gets to know who you are and how long you've been with us.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it, Tim. Great to be here, and happy holidays to everybody, and happy end of the year, and hopeful for a great 2024. My name's Ken Catawba. Joined the society back in January of 2022. My background, I've done a lot of, for many years, done a lot of consulting work inside of pharma rare disease units, strengthening relationships between pharma and research-focused advocacy organizations. I've also worked on the research advocacy side of it, the house, prior to my work here at the society, although in another area, kidney disease. But really, I was brought on board to strengthen the society's business capacity to drive therapeutic development and accelerate treatments to people affected by FSHD everywhere.
And one of those big projects right now is the Project Mercury.
Yes.
Being talked about, I think some are wondering what that is. People have, leaderships within the group have already met maybe several times. But mm-hmm. I wonder if everybody is totally on board of what does it means, what's happening with it, what is it doing, a lot of what and whys and so forth. So hopefully you can kind of answer some of those questions kind of a once and for all as we move out of this year into the next. So what is Project Mercury?
Absolutely. Well, let me kind of start with the first question you had there then, right? So why Project Mercury? Yeah. And it really exists around four, I guess I call them what if questions or what if scenarios that the society really started to focus on back in the early to mid part of 2022. And those what ifs, the four of them are, number one, what if patients can't access an approved therapy that will benefit them. The nightmare scenario for us, and I'm sure for our community, is an approved therapy that's, quote unquote, out there on the market, but a patient cannot access that therapy because it's out of their reach from a cost and a reimbursement standpoint. So that's one of the what ifs that we started to contemplate back in 2022. Second is, what if a promising therapy that's in clinical trials fails because patients or sites to run those trials are not readily available? And that happens all the time in rare disease research. In fact, the FDA largely reports through their data that only 5% of rare disease clinical trials ever result in a therapy on the market. So it's a very real possibility that therapies could fail. And a large part of that failure is due to patients not understanding and participating in clinical trials or not aware of clinical trials. Mm-hmm. And sites who conduct those trials are not easily accessible or available to the biopharma companies running those trials. The third what if is, what if government regulators don't think that current clinical trial measurements in FSHD are adequate to approve current therapies in the development pipeline? And this is where you get into issues of the importance of upper body mobility to our patient community. And I think a lot of us have heard of some of the assessments that are out there in clinical trials, the reachable workspace and so forth. And unfortunately, because currently there is not a biomarker available to biopharma in measurement of the effectiveness of their therapies in clinical trials, they're reliant on what are called these clinical outcome assessments. and the track record of government regulators approving therapies in that area without a biomarker, let's just say, is not as favorable as if there were biomarkers. So that's a what-if scenario that we're looking at. And the fourth one is, you know, what if we can't adequately engage the FSHD community and all the stakeholders needed to solve those first three what-if scenarios? So those were the issues or the scenarios, if you will, that we really started to contemplate in 2022. And so we were actually working, I have to give a shout out here to the FSHD Canada Foundation and Neil Camarda. We've had many years of working with Neil and the foundation up in Canada, but in 2022 and meeting with Neil and talking about challenges going forward, he really brought to our attention these issues of patient access and so forth. And the long and short of it was we crafted a formal partnership with FSHD Canada Foundation in mid-2022 to address these challenges. And we ended up naming it Project Mercury. Now, what came along with that was the realization that to effectively address these challenges, especially as it relates to ensuring that patients everywhere globally can access treatments when they're available, we had to step outside of our own thinking that this is not just a Canada or a US challenge or problem or series of problems or series of what ifs. It's global in nature. And virtually every country has these challenges in some shape, fashion, or form, and to some varying degrees of seriousness, I guess, in terms of how they address them. So we formed Project Mercury. It's not Project Mercury is not an organization. It's an initiative. It has a global task force, a multi-person global task force that's comprised of nonprofit organizations that have an FSHD focus, biopharma companies, and again, a shout out here to Fulcrum and Avidity for their participation thus far in launching and running Project Mercury. It includes subject matter experts in the areas of access and experienced clinical trial investigators, experts in patient and clinician education, and lastly, the patient registries, the FSHD patient registries around the world. So the global task force is responsible for ensuring that we have the right strategies to address these scenarios, coordinating that work both at the global level and at the country level, because as you might imagine, some of these issues have to be customized. The solutions for these issues have to be customized at the country level for varying regulatory and payer reasons. So it's that combo of that global local focus and work that ensures we aren't doing redundant work. If it could be one and done and then extrapolated across the world, that's great. That'll save time and money. And then ensuring that we're taking into account the customization necessary at the country level. So the FSHD Society provides Project Mercury operational and administrative support. We are the world's largest FSHD-specific research advocacy organization, and we feel a great deal of responsibility in that role to ensure that Project Mercury has all the apparatus and all the foundational support necessary for it to be successful, including business development and partnering support. But the costs and to a certain degree, revenues that come into Project Mercury from the work that we do are shared across all of the stakeholders, especially the advocacy groups that are part of that. So that's a long-winded way to answer your question, Tim, of what is Project Mercury and what's it doing? And hopefully I always struggle to get it down to some sort of an elevator pitch. So let's just say we were on the world's tallest elevator at that time and I threw it your way.
Yeah, it's kind of wrapped up with a global initiative, you know, to speed up the delivery process, yeah. Right? Globally.
Yeah.
And it was interesting that you said it was going, your thinking was beyond past Canada and the US, including the rest of the world. What are the other organizations, if you can name any, I'm putting you on the spot, that are kind of out in the world beyond our area?
Sure. So as I mentioned, obviously we've got the Society and FSHD Canada Foundation. You've got FSHD UK, obviously in the United Kingdom. You've got FSHD Europe. And then within Europe, there are a number of other FSHD organizations. You've got FSHD Global in Australia. and an FSHD organization down in Brazil. Those currently comprise the nonprofit organizations that are part of Mercury. Now, as you might imagine, you know, there will be others that join over time.
Yeah.
But, you know, it really comes down to that old axiom, you know, how do you eat an entire elephant, right? Mm-hmm. It would be great if we could have every country represented at the table and every country with an advocacy group behind it at the table. But we have to start somewhere. And those are the geographic areas we elected to start in. And it will grow in time.
The fact that we're even having an initiative like this, like Project Mercury, does that speak to that we are closer on the horizon of having treatments in that pipeline further down to move forward for people to use? I mean, or why mm-hmm. else would you have this?
Sure. Yeah. Well, it's certainly a recognition of the current clinical trial development pipeline, right? So there are really a couple of dozen companies that are actively involved in clinical trials or clinical research and clinical trials. There are probably over the next 2 to 3 years, we'll see, you know, knock on wood, at least 6 to 7 of those companies well down the road of clinical trials with many more right behind them. And I have to say, you know, in all the years that I've worked in rare disease, I don't think I've ever seen a clinical trial pipeline as robust as what we're seeing in FSHD right now. I think that speaks to a lot of things, right? There certainly the society's been involved in nurturing the basic science and translational science along to get it to where it is today. But many other organizations, including all the ones that I just mentioned, have been a part of that as well. And so there's this real groundswell. So to your question of, you know, the timing of Project Mercury is certainly tied to that, right? This robust pipeline that's there, and we don't want to lose traction. We want to even continue to grow it. But as I mentioned, you know, right out of the gate, those what if scenarios are very real. Yeah. You know, we could see these programs fail, these therapeutic programs fail for many different reasons. But the ones that we don't want to see it solve fail for are the ones that we can solve. And those issues that I talked about in terms of access and patient and clinician engagement and trials and sites and so forth are absolutely solvable issues. And we want to take a very proactive stance in that. And that was the genesis of Project Mercury.
What does then, as we transition into 2024, what those possible what ifs, you see any coming on the horizon here in within this year? What's that path look like in the next year?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. I mean, they're all ever present, right? And we've identified in Mercury some very specific projects to work on right now that tie back into any number of those what ifs, right? So, you know, we're taking on things like advancing understanding of the disease progression model. You know, we've all probably heard, or many of us have heard, about the complexities of FSHD in terms of how the disease manifests in one person versus another. Now, the big ugly term for that that's in the life sciences space and biopharma is called the heterogeneity of the disease. And really what that boils down to is it's really hard to say if you're a clinician, if you're a patient, if you're a regulator evaluating a therapy, if you're a payer deciding, is this therapy right for this patient at this time in the stage of their disease? If you don't have a well-defined path that identifies some transitional states for people in the disease that can be extrapolated across more than just one person, right? A broader set of the population, that's called disease progression modeling. It leaves us open to challenges from payers and regulators as to whether or not that particular therapy is going to be good for a broad number of patients, right? And so this disease progression model to date in FSHD is very minimal. And so we are launching an initiative in January. It's about a 12 to 18 month research program to see if we can identify more broad-based applications for the disease progression model. So that's a major initiative within Project Mercury now, because, as I said, in the absence of a better defined disease progression model, we leave ourselves and some Achilles heels, if you will, in terms of payers looking at, will this drug work for this patient population at this time? And that's a major concern. So that's a major initiative we're starting. A second one is, there's a lot of existing FSHD patient registries around the world. And in many of the countries that I just mentioned previously where the advocacy organizations are, there are registries there. And registries are fantastic tools for engaging patients and clinicians and data to feed into all the work that Mercury is doing. Unfortunately, those registries right now are somewhat loosely connected. They're not necessarily collecting the same data the same way, so it can be relied on in the aggregate, if you will. And so we're launching an initiative, again, starting in January. We've secured the funding for it. We've got all the experts necessary at the table to kind of not connect those registries in a technical way, but to connect them in a way that they're all collecting the same data set the same way and contributing that de-identified data that's blinded from who the patient is, but contributing that data into a central data warehouse where it can be accessed for all this work that we're doing, right? Because data is core to what we're doing.
That is huge. I mean, isn't that the first time that's ever been?
Yes. There's a current data set that's out there for FSHD, and some of the registries picked it up, some of them didn't, some of them did it in different ways, but it's a very minimal data set.
Yeah.
And if you think about the types of data that are going to be necessary to put together to describe FSHD to regulators and payers and so forth, you have to have some commonalities there, and you have to have a large data set to do that. So the good news is for us in the FSHD world, if you will, is that the registries already exist, right? There are lots of registries out there. We don't have to create new registries. We just have to create what's called a digital data set that they all agree to collect and do. And the good news is that there's a willingness out there within the registry community to do so. But developing that data set is a core program of FS, a core project of FSA, of Project Mercury. And we're going to look to get that done here in 2024. And then probably the third project that I would put on the list that's really high in our list of priorities is, as I mentioned earlier, if we could find a biomarker in FSHD, then the probability of approved therapies goes up that much more, right? Not just having outcome assessments, but having an actual biomarker. So there's a project on the table right now that we're hopeful that we can get launched here in the first quarter of 2024 to use PET imaging. And I'm not going to get into the acronym of PET. You can certainly Google that, but it's using PET imaging potentially as a biomarker in FSHD. And we are going to look to launch that here in the first quarter. And so those three are really important to the work that Mercury's doing and really address a lot of those what ifs. So 2024 is going to be a landmark year, if you will, in laying a serious foundation to address all those what ifs.
Wow. That sounds like you mentioned earlier about, eating that elephant. So one bite at a time.
Yeah.
That's like a big bite.
It's a big elephant and it's moving all the time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're trying to get a hold of it.
Well, we appreciate you doing that and being a part of Project Mercury, bringing your skill set to the table, Ken. And thanks for sharing to where we are at this point. Love to touch base with you throughout, obviously, 2024 as this keeps growing and moving forward, and keeping our community involved and updated on what things are happening on the horizon. It definitely helped give a little more sense to, okay, this is a cool word or Project Mercury. It sounds very exciting, but what does that mean? So we appreciate
that. No, I appreciate that, Tim. I'd love to do that. I mean, listen, I know I speak for my colleagues at the society and my colleagues that are a part of Project Mercury around the world. This simply cannot be done without the community's engagement. And we can't expect that engagement unless the community understands what we're trying to do and why it's important. So that they know that their commitment of time or money or data or whatever they're being asked of or willing to give, they know that there's good stewardship of that and that it's going towards the things that are going to deliver therapies sooner rather than later. And so we absolutely appreciate that and can't say that enough.
Well, thanks, Ken, for joining us and letting us solve all that hot information for Project Mercury. We look forward to talking to you again. This has been a great episode of Hot Off the Press on the FSHD Society Radio. Have a great final end of the year, everybody. Be safe out there, and we'll see you in 2024.
Thanks, everyone.